Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So most families, they grew up kind of around something. They grew up around baseball or football or lacrosse, something like that. My family, we grew up around boxing. And while I didn't get to watch any of Muhammad Ali's fights, because I'm too young for that, at every boxing match that I saw on TV, someone would invariably mention him. Any new person who won the title had it called into question, I would hear something like, sure, they're good, but could they beat Ali? I mean, he was a controversial figure, there's no doubt. Controversial for his trash talking. Controversial for calling himself pretty. For not being deferential to white people in a time that overtly expected that of black people. He was controversial for converting to Islam and being a conscientious objector of the Vietnam War. But whatever you think of Muhammad Ali, there's one thing that just can't be argued against. That he was a fighter in the ring and outside of the ring. In the ring, he fought and he won the title 3 times. And outside of the ring, he fought for civil rights, for the right to be seen as an equal in a place and in a time that said that he was less than his white neighbor because of the color of his skin. Well, because a reminder of Ali's death had been everywhere on television, on radio, on the internet, I couldn't help but think of the sweet science of boxing this last week, which got me to thinking about how it relates to our faith journey. See, God gives us all a fight. But we have to be clear as Christians that we know what we're fighting against. In Ephesians 6, it tells us, be strong in the Lord and mighty in God's power. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There seems to be a lot of that going around these days. We all have what I call the fight. Now, the fight is something that God puts in you. It's a passion for a specific issue. It's a desire to right the thing that you care deeply about. It's a fire inside your bones which doesn't burn out until you see that thing happen. The fight is your God-given mission in the world. For some, the fight is against huge issues. The fight is against racism or classism or sexism or ageism. The fight is for LGBTQ equality, which, based on this morning's event, we know that we still need. The fight can be for ending malaria or fixing cleft palates or feeding the hungry. It can be for getting clean drinking water or other number of things. But the fight doesn't even need to be that global. The fight for some is making sure that they eat dinner as a family every night. I know someone whose fight is for mentoring young married couples. Another person I know really, really cares about helping people in their 20s navigate the world as Christians. And so he takes them under their wing. Many in our congregation here have the fight for serving the hungry and the homeless. And for some, the fight is waking up and choosing joy over despair, for choosing to be grateful no matter what the circumstance. Our fights are our own, but they're all for the kingdom of God and against those powers and principalities and authorities that are opposed to God's will for creation. In our gospel reading today, there's this woman who has three strikes against her. First, she's a woman who enters a home uninvited. And she's a known sinner. And she touches a man in public. During that time, you just didn't do those things. On a side note, there's a lot of interpretations that interpret and assume that this woman is a prostitute. But nowhere in the scripture does it say that that's her sin. It just says that she's a sinner. We usually just read that little bit into the story. And I wonder what that says about us. Well, regardless, everything in this woman's situation is against her, yet she has the fight within her. She knows what's going to happen to Jesus in Jerusalem. She's been listening and interpreting what Jesus said and understands that his death is just around the corner. So she fights against the patriarchy of her time, which said that women don't have a place at the table. She fights against the social mores of the first century that didn't allow men to be in contact with women in public. She fights against her own reputation and those who would just dismiss her as a sinner. But this woman understands her place in the world as a sinner in the service of God. She gets what God has done for her. She knows that she's been forgiven, and she responds in love to Jesus. See, her fight, it lines up with the kingdom of God. But there's another person in this story who has a fight too. It's the Pharisee. Except he's on the wrong side of history. His fight is for legalism and misogyny. His fight is to build walls between people and keep people separated. The Pharisee's fight is to try to earn God's love through following the works of the law rather than to trust and to receive God's grace. Now, the fight that the Pharisee is engaged in has the best of intentions, but it's been bent away from God's kingdom. His fight doesn't match up with God's will for humanity. So, what does this all mean for us? Friends, I think it means that we have to discover the fight that God has given us. And a good way to do that is to let the Holy Spirit speak to you through those things that you are already passionate about. We have to join God's fight against those powers and principalities that are opposed to what God is trying to do here on earth. We all have the fight. And we have it because it's ultimately given to us in our baptisms. Baptisms, it's kind of a big deal for us as Lutherans. It's the reason that we have the font at the entrance of the church when you come in, so that when you come in, you can remember your baptism right away. See, in baptism, God gives you your Christian vocation. God claims you as a child and an inheritor of God's kingdom. And your fight is given to you in the baptismal liturgy. At every baptism, I ask, do you renounce the devil and all of the forces that defy God? And everybody in the room says, I renounce them. I ask, do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? And everybody says, I renounce them. I ask, do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you away from God? And everybody says, I renounce them. See, in baptism, you are integrated into the body of Christ. He is our head. We are his body. So the fight that's given to us by God, it's ours because it first belonged to Jesus. The good news is that Jesus is the one who works in and through us to complete his will for the kingdom. Jesus is the one who coaches us in our fight. He tells us when to move, when to bob and weave and jab and attack and retreat. He is the one who guides us in the fight. And if you're sitting there thinking, I'm too old for the fight. My fight's over. It's time for somebody else to do that. I want to say this with as much love as possible. That's just not true. God is not done using you. No matter the state of your body, no matter what state your mind is in, God is not done with you. Perhaps you don't know what your fight is. Well, look around at the people in the pews next to you. That's what your brothers and sisters in Christ are for. That's my calling as a pastor, to walk with you and help you discover God's plan for you. And friends, as a congregation, we already have a fight together. Started before I even came on. It's a fight against homelessness and hunger in Concord through our Friends Feeding Friends ministry. It's a fight for literacy with our partners in the Diablo Valley Literacy Council. It's a fight for unity in the Church of Christ across the world by building relationships with our sister parish in El Salvador. But sometimes we look back. I was at a Synod Assembly this last week, and thank you all for treating my father-in-law so well. He had raving reviews of all of you. You were very kind to him. And I got to hear Bishop Elizabeth Eaton preach. And she said something. She said, every church has its Back to Egypt committee. That's the unofficial committee of people that are always looking back to the glory days of the past, thinking that the best is behind us. And then she said some words that freed me. It freed my soul, because it reminded me of who's really in charge in this place. She said, if God wills your congregation to be the church set in your community, there's nothing on heaven or on earth that can stop it from completing its mission. But if your church has served its purpose in your town, there's no program, no pastor, no ministry that can save it. She almost made it up front. I was going to keep her. Friends, I don't believe that our fight is over. Individually and collectively. Friends, I wasn't called to Good Shepherd to be a hospice chaplain to a congregation. I was called to lead a congregation into the future. And that's what we're going to do. So let us discern God's will and in unity discover our individual and corporate fights to the glory of God. Amen.